Hi, I'm Eric Dahma, pastor at Gospel of Grace Fellowship, and I'm in studio along with Gospel of Grace's theologian and teacher, Bob Duay. We both want to welcome you here to Critical Issues Commentary Radio, where we dig into the great doctrines of the faith revealed verse by verse through the scriptures, and where we teach you how to contend for the faith once for all, handed down to the saints. Well, as always, Bob, it's fun to be with you here in studio, and we were just talking about how cold it is, but you and I get to enjoy a warm studio and study the scriptures together.
Well, in Minnesota, we learn how to survive.
That's right, right.
So we're in Galatians 6:6.
Yes.
Let me read that. I'm reading from the ESV. Let the one who has taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches.
All right.
Okay, and just some notes on the Greek here.
Yeah.
Okay. Share is the first word in the verse in the Greek.
Sure.
And it's imperative. So it's really rather emphatic to command, to share, at the very first word of the verse.
Right, right.
And here we have a lot of questions, don't we?
Yeah, there are. And Bob, I'm glad you pointed that out. In Greek, the word order really is fairly meaningless except for the emphatic position when something is usually put first. It's emphasized.
Well, not only is it thrown to the beginning of the verse, but it's in the imperative.
Yes, where's the command
from
God?
So I don't think there's any question about it that it's emphasized.
Yeah, amen.
In the series of commands that we had previous to this, the last one was each one should bear their own load.
Right.
And I'm wondering now, I'm just thinking about it, someone might think, well, therefore I don't need to support somebody like Paul or
right.
the apostles.
Great point, Bob. In fact,
and he did bear his own load.
Yes,
but he didn't think that was the correct principle.
You know, in fact, you're right, Paul. He didn't even receive a regular salary, but he could have.
He worked with his hands and did a trade,
exactly,
because he knew that the carnal-minded would accuse him of just doing it for the money.
Exactly. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 9, in verse 6, he asked the question. This is into verse 7 as well. 1 Corinthians 9. 6 through 7, Paul asked the question, he says, or do only Barnabas and I not have the right to refrain from working? He goes on to talk about any time that no soldier would serve at his own expense at any time. Who would ever do that? And so the point is, Paul and the apostles, they're certainly teaching the word of God, and they're worthy of their pay, and the same thing goes for the minister, the elder, who's teaching the word.
Yeah, that's the principle.
Yeah.
But Paul was willing to forgo that in his own case.
Exactly.
Now, I have a cross-reference here, 1 Thessalonians 2:9.
Oh, excellent.
For you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working night and day so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God.
Amen. Wow. That's right. You know, it's hard. I was mentioning earlier to you, it's kind of hard talking about this verse because you and I, we don't want to sound self-serving. You and I are both paid to teach the Word of God. But let me just share a story quick with the listeners regarding this passage. Some years ago, I was part of a church where there was a letter written by some naysayers about what I was doing. And one of the criticisms that they had launched against me was that I had spent too much time studying the Word of God per week and putting a message together, and therefore I shouldn't have been paid what I was being paid. Well, what's interesting is the two big takeaways from this verse is, number one, you ought to pay the one who's teaching or share, you know, the goods, however survival is in the type of monetary system that's in a society.
It has to be live in it.
Exactly. It has to be shared with the one who's teaching. But the other thing that this is implied in this passage is that teaching the Word of God is the primary role of the minister. That's what they're to be doing.
Absolutely. I remember in the 80s,
yeah.
I was back a while, I date myself, but we had been a different kind of church, but seeing all of the problems and the movements coming through town, we became a Bible church,
right.
The old church I was with.
Yeah.
This was in the 80s, and I was exhorting people to be students of the Word.
Amen.
And then trying to live that as an example, because our teaching was centered on the Word of God.
Yeah.
Somebody said to me, well, you're getting paid to do it.
Oh.
because I was getting a salary. It wasn't much, but it was a salary.
Sure.
I said, well, I got two answers to that.
Yeah.
Number one, I was doing this just as enthusiastically when nobody was paying me anything.
Right.
Because I just loved studying. I'd been to Bible college. I went 5 years with no salary.
Right.
Preaching once a week.
Yeah.
Okay. So to suggest that, well, if I wasn't getting paid, then I wouldn't study Scripture.
Sure.
It's not true.
Right.
And that's one answer. The second answer was, there's an awful lot of pastors getting paid who don't study.
Great point, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, they became experts in people management and...
Yeah. That's right. They're
positive
organizers.
Thinking or whatever. Whole schools of how you do ministry that aren't centered on studying the Word of God.
Yes.
Now, let me read a scripture about that.
Yeah.
So that was my answer. I said, I will continue to do this because it's the right thing to do, and I did it when I had no salary.
Yeah, amen.
And I think you should do it because God has commanded us to study.
Amen.
And to learn the truth of Scripture. That will sanctify us. If you don't want to be sanctified,
right,
then there's something wrong with your thinking as a Christian.
Yes.
If you do, you ought to learn, you ought to study, you ought to get under sound teaching,
right,
and you ought to dig into the Scriptures.
Right.
Now, 1 Timothy 5:17, okay?
Yes.
The elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching.
Yes.
Well, here Eric had people complaining that that's what he did.
That's
at one
right.
point, I was around Pat. I saw that happen.
Yeah.
You know, why do you spend so much time? Why do you work so hard?
That's right. That's right. And in fact, Bob, I used that passage as a rebuttal, and that's what was so sad. It was an unbiblical.
So what did they say to that?
There was no reply. They pleaded the fifth and just remained silent and continued the accusation.
Yeah, the old blank stare version of biblical interpretation, right?
That's right.
Well,
yeah.
We don't like that verse, so we're going to pretend it's not in the Bible.
Yeah, exactly right. Now, you know, Bob, it's interesting. Again, we, Bob and I are very content where we are at church, so this isn't directed in any way towards our flock.
Oh, no, we're just happy that we're able to do this,
yes,
to dig into Scripture.
Right.
I can guarantee you nobody's paying us to have a radio broadcast.
That's right, we don't have any advertisers.
We're doing this because we're excited about it.
Right, amen, that's right. You know, just for the listener, though, I know you have we have a wide listenership in the CIC ministry, and so there's a lot of people outside of our church body. And let me just say this to you. One of the things that you can do biblically is to make sure your pastor is being paid and that their primary role is to prepare.
If they are teaching the truth.
Exactly.
But one of the applications we're going to make is don't support false teaching.
Yes. Great point.
Because that's a perversion of this.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. And so that is the principle that we find here.
Yeah.
We have a command, share, and then there's a couple of interesting words from which the word catechism comes, or catechumai.
Yeah.
Remember the Latin?
Right.
The learner. The one being instructed, catechumenos, present passive participle, and the one instructing, katakunti, present active participle.
Wow.
In the dative.
Sure, okay. Sure, right?
So you're being instructed or you're instructing.
Right.
So the teachers of the word are instructing their students in the gospel.
Yes.
And the truth of God's word.
Amen.
All right. So I try to reconstruct the situation in Galatia with the help of Thomas Schreiner and some of these other commentaries.
Right.
Now, we know for a fact that there were problems.
Yes.
The Judaizers were trying to pull people away from Paul's gospel.
Right, right.
Remember that?
Yes.
And they were claiming that he had to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses.
Right, right.
Well, one of the ways people who come into a church with an agenda other than a gospel agenda,
yes,
they'll try to get their way by starving out the teachers of the gospel.
Right, right.
Trying to convince Christians not to support them.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly it.
Okay, so they'll try to do that, and that's probably going on.
Yeah, yep.
And
it's a good read, Bob.
This, yeah, I think it's accurate, and I thank Dr. Schreiner for suggesting that. Now, that really leaves us with a very important responsibility.
Yeah.
As Christians, we want to support the gospel and true doctrinal teaching.
Right, right.
But there are all these voices out there all claiming that that's them.
Yeah.
The Judaizers thought they were right.
Right, right.
Okay, don't give money to Paul with his gospel of grace. We should have the gospel of Moses' works.
Right, right.
Okay?
Yep.
And therefore, you're going to have to make a decision, aren't you?
That's right.
Because they're saying, here, do this.
Yes.
And usually the true gospel preacher will be more gracious and is really not asking for anything.
Right, right.
Because Paul wasn't.
Yeah, that's right. He supported himself.
We're not demanding somebody pay us this, that, or the other thing.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Now, the Christian then is obliged to know enough about the truth and to be able to read the text, like the book of Galatians, to ascertain whether what's being taught is true and accurate.
Amen.
From the Word.
That's right.
Or not. Because remember that passage in Timothy says those who work hard at word and doctrine.
I think
it says in the King James.
Yeah.
We need to be able to see that when it's really there.
That's right. Amen. You know, Bob, I was thinking in John 20, do you remember when Jesus is restoring Peter and he asks him three times, do you love me? And he concludes after he restores him, he says, well, then feed the sheep.
And, feed my sheep.
Yeah. And the role of the elder is to feed the sheep. And the sheep, of course, are fed not literal food in this context, but the Word of God.
The pure Word of God.
Amen. That's exactly
right.
We
desire the pure milk of the Word.
Right.
Another commentator, I mentioned Schreiner, Timothy George says, I'm just giving his idea.
Right.
They need to include sustaining a faithful gospel ministry as an expression of bearing one another's burdens. Remember in the context?
Yes, right.
We're to bear one another's burdens. And so here's the person laboring, according to 1 Timothy 5:17, working hard in word and doctrine and laboring in this, and it's very time-consuming.
Right, right.
But it's important to get it right.
Amen.
And how few will actually put the effort into it.
That's right. You know, and I love it what Paul says, Bob, in 1 Corinthians 9, when he talks about the right for the teacher to be paid. He says in 1 Corinthians 9:9, he says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain. Well, of course, he's quoting from the Pentateuch. And the idea there is, I just want to make the connection with this idea of eating. Just as an ox is doing work so that you can eat food, he's treading out the grain. You don't take food away from him. The idea is those who are feeding you spiritual food, the Word, you don't want to keep their food away from them. They're doing a good thing for you.
Starve them out.
Right, you don't want to starve them out. And so that's the imagery, is that's what the flock needs. And you've pointed this out for years, the pure Word of the Word of God. That's what the flock will actually feed upon.
They'll be sanctified, they'll be fed, they'll flourish.
It'll that's the term I was looking
families,
for.
Yeah. It'll bless everybody around them.
Amen.
And they're going to find opportunities to use their gifts in a godly way.
That's right.
And so that's what the ministry is all about.
Right. Amen.
So we're not helping ourselves by starving the preacher,
right,
but we're not complaining either, are we?
No, no, exactly. That's right. Now, Bob, you had made a great point before we had begun to say, look, the one thing we have to determine and discern from is we have to discern between true teaching and false teaching.
Yeah.
And you had a nice cross-reference in 2 John about false teachers and how they ought not to be supported. And I think that's a really important point.
Yeah, let me read that.
Yeah.
2 John 1:10 and 11. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works.
Wow. So we really have, if we put those two passages together, what we're studying in Galatians and that, we have a moral imperative as believers to teach those who are, or I'm sorry, to pay those who are teaching the truth, and to starve and not pay those who are teaching falsehood.
If you send your money off to Benny Hinn
and
refuse to support the local Bible teacher who's teaching the truth,
right?
I'd say that's sinful.
Amen.
Because you're supporting error and starving truth.
Right, right.
Wow. You have to think, where's my heart?
Yeah. You said, you and I were talking earlier, and you said, you know, it's obvious from when you look at the TV and you see who's preaching and how wealthy the false teachers are, the truth doesn't pay, does it? It
seems. No, it doesn't. Certainly doesn't. I'm not expecting that it will.
Sure.
Never has.
Yeah.
But we've had scandal after scandal where TV preachers have accumulated so much wealth and they fall into worse things.
Right, right.
Well, there was one case where this guy ended up in jail, but his parsonage was a multi-million dollar mansion on the ocean with a yacht sitting out in front of it. That was his housing allowance.
Oh, wow, yeah. Boy.
And the guy was a scoundrel. Yeah. And they threw him in jail. And that wasn't his only parsonage. That was just the vacation one.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Well, when he gets out, he goes right back to doing the same thing.
Oh, my goodness. And people still paid him.
Well, they think they're going to get something from God if they send their money to this guy.
Boy, is that sad.
He claimed to be like Elijah, and then all the people listening were the widows who cruise of oil wouldn't run empty.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so this sort of thing has been common, at least here in America. But we're not here in 2 John to receive them into our house. Well, I'd say in modern America, we're not to send our money off to false teachers on TV.
Right. That's a great application, yeah.
Okay, so teachers depended on the hospitality and support of Christians. False teachers are not to be given this. And I say in my notes here, untold millions of dollars from Christians go to false teachers who built empires for themselves.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, instead of building the kingdom of God, it's the wrong kingdom, yeah.
It's wrong. And how do you know the difference? Well, remember that series I did in Sunday school, Eric?
Yeah.
On how to discern a true work of the Spirit?
That's right, the confession of Christ.
Yeah. When people confess Christ, and they do so forthrightly, and even under duress if somebody's attacking them, but they stake their hope and claim on the finished work of Christ, that Christ died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, in order to bring us to God.
Yes.
That we stand on trial, said Peter, for the resurrection of the dead.
Right.
Because he was preaching that. I've been teaching you about that.
Yes, and Acts.
That's what we're looking for.
Right.
And sometimes there's people that maybe we don't agree with everything, but if we hear that, it's great.
Yes, we rejoice.
Yeah, I heard on TV just the other day where the famous son of a famous preacher was stuck on TV to be interviewed about his dad, and all he could do was talk about Jesus Christ, who was crucified and raised on the third day.
Oh, praise God. That's
great
to hear.
Several times. There you go. That's how you know.
That's a work of the Spirit.
That's valid. He wouldn't do that if the Holy Spirit wasn't at work.
Yes, and as you and I are talking about preaching Christ, it's obviously the Christ of the Scriptures. And
that's how you discern.
Yes, exactly
right. Because you look all the way through the Scriptures, even under duress, the true apostles and true preachers would confess Christ. You could almost not stop them from doing that.
Right, right.
But keep preaching Christ.
Yeah. And I think that's a really important thing, because so many times you'll hear people, they'll make the claim, well, I saw a work of the Spirit because I saw such and such an experience, or the breakout of laughter, or the breakout of sorrow, or some, you know, manifestation of a, you know, human emotions, and they'll claim, well, that's a work of the Spirit. I'm going to send off my money.
But was Christ preached?
That's the question to ask.
Paul rejoiced when Christ was preached.
Amen.
And I point out here, again, I'm looking at my PowerPoint from when I preached this 6, 7, 8 months ago.
Yeah.
There was no formal, systematic catechism at that time in church history.
Right, right.
Okay. And so they were teaching the truth of the gospel and the apostles' teaching, Acts 2:42.
Yeah.
So the Judaizers likely were trying to step in and take any support that otherwise would go to the gospel.
Wow.
I think it's a tactic of Satan to starve the gospel by funneling everything to heresy being broadcast and spoken by people with bad motives.
Yeah, amen. Well said.
So now we go to verse 7. We can at least start that here.
Yeah, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. So now it seems as if Paul is going on to this metaphor of planting and harvesting from agriculture. And what he's really talking about is what you plant for eternity at the end of the day, doesn't he?
Yeah, and so I think that it connects to verse 6.
Yeah, very
well. Are we supporting the gospel, or are we deceived and we're planting some other kind of seeds?
Right.
Or supporting something that does result in the planting of tares rather than wheat.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, again, very similar construction in this sense as verse 6, which began with an imperative.
Wow.
Verse 7 also does, with a negation, may. So you have not, do not be deceived.
Wow.
Or it would be legitimate to translate this, stop being deceived.
Wow.
Because you have a present tense here.
Sure.
Present passive imperative. And stop being deceived.
Yes.
Do you think you can send your money and give your support and listen to these Judaizers?
Right.
And reject the gospel as preached by Christ and his apostles?
Right.
And there's not going to be any consequences?
Right. That's well said. You know, Bob, as I'm thinking about that, as you're saying that, talking about reaping into eternity and having a harvest, you know, the Bible does speak of a judgment seat of Christ. And I was just going to read those verses because in 1 Corinthians 3, what's interesting is Paul likens himself to this master builder.
Yeah.
And the foundation that he laid was the gospel of Christ. Well, then he talks about how people, if you're going to build, you have to build with materials that are consistent with that foundation that he laid. So if you're building with a foundation, or on that foundation, I'm sorry, with materials that aren't consistent with it, it'll be burned up. So listen to what he says. This is 1 Corinthians 3:10. He says, according to the grace given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid. Now here's the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day, this is the eschatological day, will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive reward. Let me just stop there. That's the idea of reaping what you've sown. If you've sown the gospel and you're building with the gospel, you're going to receive reward. But he says, if anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. In other words, there won't be the reward for those who sowed either to false teaching or they didn't sow at all. There's not going to be the same amount of reward.
Yeah, they built with what's not eternal.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, and so you know what? It really behooves us to recognize that there's eternal rewards at stake for what kind of giving and what kind of ministry we support here and now.
Yeah, so here's a command.
Yeah.
Don't be deceived. God doesn't waste words.
Right.
This is inspired scripture.
Yeah.
This is an imperative.
Wow.
Do not be deceived. In the context, who was trying to deceive them?
Yes, the Judaizers.
Those who taught law works.
Yes.
Okay. You need to follow the law of Moses.
Wow.
You can't expect that you're going to be justified by Christ through the gospel and ever be sanctified through Christ in the gospel.
Right.
That's what they're saying. Now, we've said that over and over again. You go back to Galatians 3, it's very clear.
Yeah.
How did you receive the Spirit? By works of the law or by hearing of faith.
Yes.
And so we've been teaching means of grace.
Yeah.
We've claimed that sowing to the Spirit means the Word of God is God's means to sanctify us.
Amen.
Okay? And so we desire the pure Word of God.
We're fed
the pure Word of God. Jesus said, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth.
Wow.
In John 17.
Yes.
Okay? So Eric and I, and Eric's done some teaching in Sunday school on this,
yeah,
claim that we proceed in the Christian life along the same basic lines as we began it.
Yes.
By grace through faith.
Yes.
And that hearing the truth taught, feeding our souls on the pure Word of God, is a means whereby God graciously changes us.
Wow.
And along come the Judaizers saying, oh no, you have to follow the Jewish prescriptions.
Wow.
You have to be a Sabbath keeper along the lines of Moses. You have to follow the food laws. You have to be circumcised. Those were the three things,
yeah,
that separated them from everybody else.
Right.
And whatever it says in the law of Moses, you have to follow that.
Right.
Paul fought that strongly with very harsh, strong words.
Right.
And I don't know why it is that people today think, well, why should we take that seriously?
Right, right.
I don't think they've ever read Galatians for what it says.
Yeah, that great point. Great point. You know, the Judaizers, they were building on the foundation with something that's not consistent with the gospel.
Stubble.
Yes, what
they're not building on Christ.
Amen. Yes.
Moses is never going to be the foundation.
You know, Bob, I love a saying that you've said. It's very succinct. You said, look, we weren't justified by Christ in order to be sanctified by Moses.
Well, that's clear enough just from Mark chapter 9.
Amen.
Or Luke chapter 9, the Mount of Transfiguration.
We talked about
that many times.
Right.
So what did Paul say with these imperatives?
Yeah.
Walk in the Spirit. It's an imperative.
Yes.
Do not be deceived.
Mm,
it's an imperative. Okay. By what? Well, false teaching.
Right.
Works of the flesh. Mm. Works of the flesh, which are contrasted with the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
So we need to do that, which will sow to the Spirit.
Yes.
And we'll see that in the next verse, in verse 8. Something a little foreshadow here.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So don't be deceived.
Yes.
If you think that you're going to go somewhere besides what is gold, silver, precious stones, which is eternal, which will stand the test, we're saying that that's the pure Word of God that's given to us by Christ and His apostles.
Amen. Well said. You know, Bob, as you're saying that, I was thinking, you know, in the book of Revelation, there's this address in the first three chapters to the seven churches in Asia Minor, and not one of them is ever rebuked for being too small, but they are rebuked for not being faithful to the gospel. And Christ says, look, I'll remove your lampstand. And the reason He'll do so is when people compromise the truth of the Scriptures, the truth of His gospel.
Yeah.
That's what infuriates Him. And what He congratulates, for instance, in the church in Philadelphia, He says, because you've been faithful to keep my word, tereo, you've literally guarded it in your heart, I'll keep you from the hour of trial. And so the great reward is for those who treasure the gospel, who want to proclaim the gospel, and they are willing to spend their time, treasure, and talent to help others spread the gospel.
That's exactly. It's all about the gospel.
Amen.
And, yeah, you taught and will be teaching from Revelation in Sunday school.
That's right.
I'm teaching in Acts.
Yes.
And I found it interesting in Acts 3 and 4 where you have the healing of the lame man.
Mm, right.
When they confronted the apostles because this caused quite a stir.
Yeah.
And demanded what this was all about. Well, it was because of Christ and His resurrection and His name.
Right.
This was done.
Yeah.
Their conclusion was, well, the guy was healed and everybody knew it because he was always begging there at the temple.
Yeah.
Now he's leaping and jumping and praising God.
Right.
Well, we can't deny that.
Yeah.
So we're going to tell them, Don't preach in the name of Jesus. Right. So, see, the threat to their religious establishment wasn't that somebody was healed.
Wow.
But that the gospel was preached.
Great
okay,
point.
Okay, let's apply that to what we've been talking about.
Yes.
Today. All right? So you have all these healing evangelists
yeah.
who don't preach the gospel or have a false gospel.
Right.
And most of the time, nobody's actually healed, but even if they were.
Right, exactly.
They're not going to get persecuted for healing. They can go clear out all the hospitals. Everybody would be thrilled.
Great point.
But they're going to be persecuted if they preach Christ and repentance and faith.
Yes.
Repentance from dead works to serve the living God, to turn from idols, to turn to Christ, that God raised him from the dead,
yes.
that he is God over all, the Creator who's co-eternal with the Father, the virgin birth. Preach all of that.
Yes, because that leads to the ultimate healing.
But see, the Jewish leadership, the Sanhedrin, they knew that. So they'd say, don't do that. Just go ahead and heal anybody you want.
Right.
What do we care? We don't need lame guys bugging us at the gate here anyhow.
That is a great point, Bob. Yes, it shows what really is important.
And it's interesting in John 9,
yeah.
when the blind man's healed.
Right.
And it starts, it's a really long chapter, but it starts a dispute with the leadership.
Yeah.
Because Jesus healed on Shabbat.
Right.
They're more worried about their Sabbath laws.
Yeah, than seeing him healed.
Than seeing a blind from birth man healed that nobody had ever seen before.
Right.
And the guy ends up refuting these religious leaders.
Yes.
He knew nothing about theology.
Right.
And he ended up coming to faith.
Yeah, and all these miracles you pointed out in your sermon, Bob, they're all referring back really to Isaiah 35:35, when the Messianic age would come. The blind would see, the lame would leap. And
yeah.
so here these things are proof of the Messianic credentials of Christ, and the religious leaders want to stifle it.
Exactly, and that's Luke's point, by the way, is that Scripture is being fulfilled.
Yes, amen.
Okay,
wow.
So all the forces of hell are arrayed against gospel preaching.
Wow.
The religious leaders will stop gospel preaching if they can.
Right.
But if you want to go do good deeds, they'll let you do that all day long.
That is
as long as you don't preach Christ and the resurrection.
Yes, that's so well said. Yeah, nobody gets upset if you dig a well in Africa or if you go feed the poor or you help Salvation Army, but when you preach Christ is the only way, then you're going to invite some
That'll
real trials.
That'll create the persecution.
That's right. Wow.
Exactly.
Well, it shows you where the battle is. It shows you, there's an old saying, if you're receiving flack, you're over the target. If you're preaching Christ and teaching the word, you'll get the flack, won't you?
Yeah, and so we want to get into this some more, okay?
Yeah.
About God not being mocked. I think there's an interesting allusion to an Old Testament passage, and we'll look at what is next week.
Sounds great, Bob.
But today, we want to take away from this that the gospel of Christ needs to be preached.
Yes.
The word of God needs to be purely taught.
Yes.
According to the author's intent.
Amen. And it needs to be supported.
The authoritative teachers of the new covenant are Christ and his apostles.
Yes.
It's our job to do that.
Right. Amen.
And we should support anyone who's willing to do that.
Right.
And not support the false teachers.
Yeah. That's
okay?
A great takeaway.
And we're commanded by God not to be deceived. Dear listener.
Yeah.
We hope that we've given you the tools to know the difference.
Amen.
Okay? We're not pleading for any money.
Right.
But we want you to not be deceived.
Amen.
And to be people whose heart is content and more than that, but excited about the truth of the gospel.
Well said. Thank you, Bob. Well, we're out of time for this edition of Critical Issues Commentary Radio. We both want to remind you here that you can access this program at our website at cicministry.org. Bob, it was a real pleasure discussing these passages and their ramifications, and I look forward to doing it again with you next week.
Amen.
Amen. We want to remind all of you out there, as it says in Philippians 1:27, to stand firm in one spirit with one mind and strive together for the faith of the gospel.